I'm going to start this teaching now, and the title of my teaching is God's Great Love for Us. And see, God really loves you. And if we're ever going to rise up and move with God, our Heavenly Father, we have to come to an understanding of His great love for us. God loves you so very much, and He's shown His love to the world by sending forth His one and only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we know this great love? We can get an understanding from His word of His love for us, and then we can begin to come into relationship with Him. For us to truly love someone, we need to get to know them. And as the relationship develops, so does our love for the other person grow. And it's the exact same thing with God. When we know His true heart for us, then we can respond to His love. And as we gain an understanding of His heart, we become more free in our hearts to draw nearer to Him. Because why? Because He loves us. Because He cares about us. But we need to understand God's love. We've heard teachers that God is love and that God loves us. But do we understand it for ourselves? Have we gone to the scriptures? Have we seen what God has done? What He's accomplished through His Son? How He was through His people, through the Old Testament and through the New? How He's been working and how He's shifting and changing things? And what He's done for us? When you decide a conscious effort to go to the scriptures and to see God's love in action in the scriptures, and then to see today how much He loves you, and that He'll do the same thing for you, you will be running to God, not away from Him. You won't be hiding anything in your life. You'll be bringing it before God, who is love and who is light, and He will bring that deliverance for you. Let me tell you right now, God loves you unconditionally. There's nothing that you have to do to get God to love you. He loves you unconditionally. There is nothing you have to do to love Him. There's no conditions for you to fulfill. He wants and desires with longing to fellowship with you. God wants to fellowship with you. He put Adam and Eve in the garden to have fellowship with them, to commune with them. He spoke with them every day. He went with them. Okay? He wants a relationship. God has pursued you and invited you to know Him and His heart for you. He wants you to trust Him, to have confidence towards Him. He wants us to know He loves us more than we can ever understand. He wants us to come to Him and give Him our cares. He wants to know and show you His plan for your life. Let us take a look at what God is recording in His Word so we can begin to understand His love and His heart and His thoughts towards us. We need to know what God really thinks about us, because I bet a lot of times we think, well, I've done this, what does God really think about? And then we shy away. Or if someone I work with a lot of people, and when they go off track, they don't come to me. They think, oh no, he's going to have a go at me, or he's going to say this. And if you're like that with me, what are you like with God? See? So this is why God showed me it's so important that we really know His love for us. See, He loves us. And when we know someone loves us, we know we can go to them no matter what state we're in, whether it's a good state or whether it's a bad state. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to have a look at God's heart. And He revealed His heart through His prophets. Okay? And He was speaking to the people of this time. And in Jeremiah 29, and we'll start to read from verse 11 to 14. And we're going to break it down and have a look. And it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through to verse 14, it says, this is God speaking through His prophet, all right? And He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. And not of evil. To give you an expected end." Look at the love of the Father in these words. "Then shall you call upon me." Why? Because we know that His thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace. "And ye shall go and pray unto me, and God says, I will hearken unto you." He said, because you know my thoughts towards you, you'll come to me, and you'll seek me. All right, and He says, and then I will listen to what you've got to say. "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And that's the point. You've got to search God and go to God with all your heart, holding nothing back. And the reason why, because God knows your heart. He knows the secret chambers of your heart. He wants you to really open up. Hold nothing back. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let the things that you may have done wrong or right in your life hold you back. And it says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." He said, I'm going to listen. I'm there. "And I will turn away your captivity. Captivity means that you're being held in prison, whether in mind, body or spirit. That you're being held captive, like a prisoner. And he says, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations. This is a prophecy regarding Jesus Christ. And from all the places wherever I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because of the fall of man, we were all brought into captivity, into prison, under the rule and terror of the adversary. Because basically that's what he is a terror. Okay? But God says, when you come to me, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to open those prison doors, just like Peter and when he was put in prison. God shook the place and opened the doors so that he could come free. And God has shaken our foundations in our life, and he's opened the doors to set us free. God's thoughts towards you are peace. The Hebrew word for peace here is shalom. This word means happy, friendly, prosperity, health, favor, and rest. We will see this further in a minute. The word expected in this verse, he said he'd give us an expected end, in this verse in Jeremiah 29:11 is the Hebrew word tikwif, or something, I may not be pronouncing it right, but it's T-I-Q-V-A-H. And it means expectation, hope, live, the thing you long for. Okay? Hope is our confident expectations of good things happening, right? That's what God is going to give you. He's giving you an expected end. He's giving you expectation, a confident expectation of good happening in your life now. Not tomorrow, not someday down the road as you get an understanding, but right now. He wants you to have that expectation of good things for your life. And that's the peace that he's given to us. This shalom, which means happy, friendly, prosperity, health, welfare, favour, rest and safe. What it's like that, it reminds me of that word zozo. And in 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, we're going to see this shalom, this word peace, where it says happy, friendly, prosperity, health, welfare, favour, rest and safe. In 3 John 2, it says beloved. See, we are his beloved. He loves us so much that he calls us his beloved. He says, my beloved. Like I look at Kim and I say, my love. She's my wife, I love her. So I call her my love. So we're God's love. He loves us. We're his loved ones. I wish, and this wish is like an intense desire. This is God's intense desire for you. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. There's that prosperity. So prosperity and peace go hand in hand. And be in health, even as thy soul prosper. If you can look at this verse, what it's really saying is, this prosper is to have a good journey through life. God wants you to have a good journey through life. Are you having a good journey through life? You got to, when you look at the scriptures, when you see God's heart for you, you've got to say to yourself, am I having this good life? Am I having this prosperity and peace? If you're not, there's something wrong. And it's not God's part, it's our part. We need to go and seek him and fight. He said we'd be found of him when we go to him. Here, God calls us his beloved. We are dear to God's heart, and God's desire is for us to prosper and be in health. To prosper here means to have a good journey through life and to be healthy. This is dependent upon our soul prospering in our understanding of God's heart for our lives, which we get by reading and studying of his word and our relationship with him through our prayer life and seeking his direction. Let us continue to see God's love for us. Go back, let's go back to the gospel. Okay, let's go back to John chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 16 and 17. We all know these scriptures off by heart. Alright, I even got it tattooed on my left arm. But see, the point is, it's not just knowing the scripture, the sounding of it, what it's saying, but it's understanding this. Understanding what is God saying? Why did Jesus Christ say? What is the meaning behind what he said? And it says in John chapter 3 verse 16, For God so loved the world. The world isn't the earth. He's referring to the people in the world. That he gave. See, God so loved that he was moved to do something to show his love. And if we're walking in love, we'll be showing it forth. We won't just be keeping it to ourselves. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. And what do? Even after being saved, we condemn ourselves, right? But the world through him might be saved. God loves everyone, but not everybody will respond to God's love. The way we respond is by confessing Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Romans 10:9-10. But the point is, Jesus is Lord. That means he's the one giving you the direction in your life, that you're not, you've stopped taking your own decisions. You've stopped making your own decisions, but your decisions are based upon his leading, upon his direction in your life. That's submitting to what he wants you to do. Not what you think that you should do, but you're going to God, you're actively seeking his direction, and you're saying, lead me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. What do you want me to do in this situation? What do you want me to do in my finances? What do you want me to do in my relationships? What do you want me to do as a function, as a believer? What is it that you want me to do? And then that's what we seek. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. What do you want me to do? And then we go to his word. What does his word say we should do? That's why you need to come to your word. That's why you need to come to the living God. And you've got the Bible, you're able to read, you're able to understand, and God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And even if you think, well, I don't understand, just begin to read. And God will start to work and energize and give you understanding. It's not that you've got to understand it with your five sense intellect. But God has given you spirit. He can teach your mind what you need to see. And we really need to come back to his word. Come back to his direction, what he's saying from his written word and what he's directing by the ministers and by other leaders and believers. See, at the time we confess Romans 10:9-10, and when we confess Jesus Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, we became born again of the Spirit of God. In verse 17, it shows us God's heart, that God is not condemning the world, but the world through believing on his Son Jesus Christ might be saved. The word condemn in verse 17 is the Greek word krino, and it means judge, damn, call into question or sentence to. God is not sentencing you to spiritual death. He's not sentencing you to a life of poverty, a life of lack, a life of worry, fears and doubts, okay? He's not judged you in that way. He's not damned you, and he hasn't damned anyone in the world. He hasn't, but he's given them a way out of coming from the grips of the god of this world, which is Satan. See, if you're not born again of the Spirit, we will legally, spiritually, we belong to the god of this world. That's why God had to send Jesus Christ, so that when we believe in him, we change lordships. The devil is no longer your lord, but Jesus Christ now is your lord. See, the people in the world that are not born again, their lord is the devil, whether they know it or not. And he's the one directing their lives. So someone's going to be directing your lives. And if you think it's you, really it's the devil, right? But really, let God direct your lives. Let God lead you by his Spirit. Okay? So someone's going to be telling you what to do. You're either being led by God or through the systems of the world, the devil. But you don't belong to the devil. He has no claims on your life no more. He has no claims on your health. He has no claims on your finances. He has no claims on your relationship. See? He doesn't have no claims on it. You are above him. You're bigger than the devil. You're bigger than his spirits. You've got the Holy Spirit of the living God dwelling in you. You are powerful. And that's how much God loves you. We're looking at God's love, right? And he's given you this authority over the power of the enemy. He's brought you from darkness and into his marvelous light. So why would we want to crawl back into the darkness? Why would we want to hide darkness in our life? But we want to bring it to the light to expose it so that we can have direction for our life and living, right? That's the thing. The word saved in verse 17 is the Greek word zozo. Its true meaning is this: to save. That is, deliver. Or protect, literally and figuratively, or figuratively, to heal, to preserve, to save self, do well, be made whole. Okay, and you can check all this, because if you've got a Greek concordance, you can look up the definitions of them, and you can work everything that I've worked here. This is the love of God in his thoughts and hearts towards us, to save us, deliver us, protect us, to heal us, to preserve us, make us whole so we can do well. And we have received this by believing on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free gift of God. We haven't earned this gift. We've just believed, and then it was imparted to us. God says, this is my gift to you. This is my gift to whoever calls upon my Son. It's a gift to the world, but they need to come and receive and claim that gift. And the way that you receive and reclaim that gift is by confessing Jesus Christ is Lord, by believing God raised him from the dead, by believing on him, even just believing on his name, you'll be saved. It's not that you've got to repent and confess every sin. It's not set up like that. That's Christian religious Christianity. Right? And religion will embind you, will encase you, will ensnare you. Even though people mean well by saying these things, it's not the truth. And Jesus Christ said, the truth shall make you free. Mm-hmm. It's only the truth that will make you free. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. The law was a good thing. Okay, but we can't separate grace and truth. We've been called to freedom. But to continue in the grace and in that freedom, to live it and experience it, we have to have truth. So we have to come back to what God is saying from his word. We have to come back from what God is leading us by his spirit. 1 John. Okay, 1 John chapter 1. We're looking at the Father's love. Okay, and the Father's love is so amazing. And see, the point is, if you're going to rise up and move, you have to know that God loves you. You have to know he is with you. He loved you unconditionally. Because this is your basis of living and moving. Love energizes faith. You can check that in Galatians. Love energizes faith. It's not works that energizes faith. It's not knowledge that energizes faith. That can help bring your faith up. But the true faith that comes from that Spirit of God into your heart and mind and life is energized by the love of God, that he loves us, he's with us, he's for us, he's not against us. This is real freedom, guys. We should be, this is the best Christmas present anyone could have, right? That to know that he loves you, and there's nothing that you got to do to earn that love. That he's provided everything for us. We just got to use these things. Behold, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I think it's 1 John 3, chapter 1. I might have had that wrong. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. God calls us his sons. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer outcasts. We're not outside of the family of God. We are the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. People don't understand who we are. They can't. They can't grasp what we believe. Because they haven't got the Spirit of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're spiritually discerned. They can't understand why you believe like you believe. Why you live like you live. Why you come to fellowship. Why you speak in tongues. Why you They can't grasp that. Okay? Because they haven't got the Spirit. That's why we need to declare the Father. Declare his love to the world. That he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. And that through him they can be saved. They can have a relationship with the God that created them. Isn't that what? That's love. 1 John chapter 4. And in 1st 9 it says, in this was manifested, or a showing forth, the love of God towards us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. If you want life, you can only have it through the Son. By receiving him, by receiving that Spirit of God, which is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. God showed forth his love. He evidenced his love so that we could see it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And everything that we do is by him, through him, in Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the payment in full, for our sin. And this word propitiation is also, is that it's not just the forgiveness of our sins. This means the turning away of God's wrath. The wrath that we deserved has been turned away from us. It's been done. There's no need to condemn yourself no more. There's no need to, for you to feel that you're lacking. There's no need to feel that you're inferior. You're not inferior, guys. Our ability to love God and others flows from our first tasting his love for us. You cannot really genuinely love anyone until you experience his love for you. And then when you experience his love for you, you draw near to him. Because you know he's not judging. You know that you've got a sense of rightness before him because you know what his word says about it. And then you can go to him. And then you can start to love yourself because God has loved you. Because you can't love anyone else until you love yourself. And when you start to love yourself, then you can then give that to others. That's becoming love. That's how you become love, by recognizing God's love for you, that he loves you, that you are righteous, you are justified, you are sanctified, you are redeemed. And then your faith is hot. You know that there's nothing that you can do wrong. You know there's nothing that can separate you, that God will never turn his back on you. He'll never look away from you. He'll never hide his face from you. See? Then you can go to him. And then you can love him. And then you can start to love yourself and appreciate who you are in Christ, what God has truly made you to be. And then you want to give that out to others. You really do. You'll have compassion towards people. You'll see the darkness that they're sitting. And God can energize you to speak the word. Because we don't speak the word just because we want to. But we need to do it because God is leading us and showing us. Alright. 1 John chapter 4 verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's the whole thing, guys. God wants us to love one another in this room right now. Even the people, other believers outside of this fellowship, even if they've done us wrong, we got to walk in love. We got to be the example, guys. Because otherwise we'd just be bickering and looking at this person, looking at that person. We can be aware of someone's heart and their agenda, if they got their own agenda. But we're still to walk in love. Okay, we hold the standard of what God says. We be the example to them. We show them the love of God. We show them that we're walking by the Spirit. We show them we know where they are, but we love them and that they can change. Alright? So we don't have to judge other people. Judge not lest you be judged. And with what judgment you judge it, it be measured back to you. And it's just a circle. So we have to get out of this judgment. The love of God doesn't judge us. So then we have no right to judge others because God is not judging us. In fact, when we start to judge other people, the devil has access to judge us. Oh, look, he's judging them, so this is what he's been doing. So, you see what I'm saying? We just want to walk in love. When we realize God's love for us, then we can come into a relationship with God who is our Father. We can love him because he first loved us, and then we can show his love towards others. We are not loving God or others based upon our right doing or right living or right acting, but based upon his great love for us. We begin to love God and then ourselves so we can become love and show others this wonderful life-changing love of God. We just encourage people. That's all our job is. My job is to encourage, not to condemn, not to complain, but to help you. If there's an area you're not seeing something, then I'm to shed the light of the word on that and give God's solution, not my solution. See? And if we're walking in that light and love, we won't be hiding anything. We won't be keeping a secret. Because that's darkness. We'll be exposing it to the light because we want to move. And it shows your heart. When you're not hiding anything back, you're showing your heart to God, I want to do the things right. We've got to provide all things honest before God, it says in the scriptures. Romans 5:8. We'll continue to look at God's love here. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It brings it back to that same thing again. That even while we were sinners, he loved us. So it's not based upon anything that we do, is it? But it's just based upon us receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when we didn't know God, he commended or approved his love towards us. So this is a little bit of insight of God's love for each individual. Understanding and knowing that God loves you unconditionally is so very big. We need to truly understand this point in our minds and never let it and never let it be gone from our mind. Let God write it upon the tables of our hearts. And he does that when we allow his word to rule and reign in us, when we're seeking him. God is not against you, even if you have missed the mark, and that means sinned, right? That is why God sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for the sin, or where you missed the mark, and mistakes, even after you were born again. For years, I was basing my relationship with God on my works and how faithful I was, and when I messed up, I would condemn myself terribly, and I think that's what a lot of us in this room have done. And maybe still do at times. You need to forget that. It's not based upon anything that you've done. It's based upon what Jesus Christ done. And what God made available through him. The truth is that I am right with God. Not because of my good works or behaviour. But I am right with God because of what Jesus Christ done. I can have a relationship with the creators of the heavens and the earth. Because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. While he was here on the earth. And in his death and resurrection, is because of what he done, his sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice anything. Jesus Christ done it for you guys. You are right with the creators of the heavens and the earth. And I put a little caption here. Our ability to love God and others flows from our first tasting his love for us. Is his love for us. Now we're enabled to become love. Now we're enabled to love God and to love ourselves and then pass that love on to others. Now I want to take a look at what Jesus Christ did for us by sending Jesus Christ. Okay? Luke chapter 4. And I love this section of the word. It's always been a favourite of mine from the very beginning that I ever heard it. And we can get great insight to what Jesus Christ actually accomplished while he was here on earth and after his death and resurrection and ascension. So in Luke chapter 4... we're going to go to verse 16. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah the prophet. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which means today's the day, right? I want to focus on Luke 4:18. We will look at some of the words here to get a better understanding of what Jesus was sent to do while here on earth. Jesus is reading this from Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah prophesied this, and now this prophecy is being fulfilled as Jesus read it. Because when he finished reading that, he sat down and he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Isn't that beautiful? He read that, and all the people in the synagogue was like, oh, what is he saying? What is this guy saying? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Oh, isn't this Becky? Why are we going to believe what she's got to say? Isn't this Danny? Why are we going to believe what... Isn't this Kim? I remember Kim, what she used to be like. This is Lawrence or Phil. And that's the people's reactions. We get the same reactions of what he's done, but he's experienced it first. All right? And he knows how to handle it. So I want us to focus on Luke 4:18. We will look at some of the words here to get a better understanding of what Jesus was sent to do while here on earth. Jesus is reading this from Isaiah 61. And like I said, Isaiah prophesied this, and it is being fulfilled. It just got fulfilled in their ears. The first thing to recognise is what this verse is saying. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ could not do the work in his own ability. He needed the Spirit of God so he could do the work that the Father has sent him to do. He couldn't do it in his own strength. The word anointed means to consecrate. Or more simply, it means to separate. So what was Jesus Christ separated to do? The rest of the scripture tells us he was separated for, number one, so Jesus Christ separated him out from among men, anointed him, okay, this is your work, I've called you to do. To preach the gospel to the poor, two, to heal the brokenhearted, three, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Right, that's five things there. Five is the number for grace. And then he capped it off with saying, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which means today is the day of salvation. This was part of our wonderful Saviour's job description. This was his focus, to do the will of the Father, to follow out exactly what God wanted him to do and sent him to do. This could not be accomplished in his own strength or ability. God was working in Christ, reconciling men and women back to himself by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, I'll read it out, you can write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To what? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. See, God was reconciling the world unto himself through or by Jesus Christ, not imputing or counting their trespasses or sins unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What? Why did I read that? Because we could see that God was working in Christ. Christ could not do it by himself. That's why he needed the Spirit. The Spirit separated him out from the world to do a specific function for God. Now, we've received the Spirit of God when we confess Romans 10, 9 and 10. Now, that same Spirit that was on Christ or in Christ is in us. That means you've been anointed too. And you've been separated out now from the world to do the same thing that Jesus Christ was called to do. Isn't that neat? We got the same responsibility that he has. The only responsibility that we haven't got is to lay down our life to be crucified. But the responsibility we have got is to lay down our life for others so that people can live. And that we lay down our life, which is our old man nature, that caterpillar that Jason was teaching about. Okay, and to rise up into that butterfly that God's called us to be. That's the thing that we lay down our lives. We lay down the things that we want for us. See, and we seek after God first with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. We seek his will. We seek his direction. What do you want me to do? How can I act in my relationship here, Father? How do I handle my husband or my wife, my brother or my sister or my children? Father, what do you want me to do? You show me. You guide me. See, this is the heart. We go to God on everything. Father, how do you want me to handle my finances? Father, do you want me to bring anyone over for food or fellowship to bless them? Do you want me to do this? See, we seek God in everything that we do. Father, how much do you want me to honour you with? So that your minister is provided for, or another believer's need is met. How much do you want me to do? And he'll show you. When you do what he shows you to do, he will prosper and bless everything that you do. See, this is the abundant life we come into. So, not only was God in Christ reconciling the world back to himself by Jesus Christ, but today God is through us, that are born again of the Spirit, still reconciling men and women back to himself. Praise God. So how God was in Christ reconciling the world back to him, now God is in you reconciling the world back to him. But you've got to be available. You've got to be willing. Jesus Christ made himself available. Jesus Christ was willing. He became obedient to the death of the cross. In other words, he had to follow out every directive that God was showing him to do for that to become available. If he stopped at one point, he would have blown it. He would have blown it. If he didn't do what the Father wanted him to do, he would have blown it. He had never got to the point of becoming into that garden and then to be crucified. Can you see? He had to follow exactly what God was showing. And we can walk like Jesus Christ. If you believe on the works that Jesus Christ done, you can do the same and greater. And that includes being obedient to seek God, being obedient to do what he wants you to do. Can you see that? Absolutely wondering. So we continue to look at the words in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Okay, now we will look at some of the words here in Luke 4, 18. We know the word anointed means to consecrate, or more simply, it means to separate. Separate out to do a specific work and task, right? To preach the gospel. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 words. Here is the Greek word euangelizo, and it means to bring good news, to announce glad tidings. Euangelizo also means to evangelize, like an evangelist. Okay? It also means the person proclaiming the gospel announces the complete message of the good news. We say the whole thing. When we're sharing with people, we tell them about the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God loved the world, that he loves that person, that there was a need for a Savior to be sent because of the downfall of Adam and Eve. Okay, and that point of the downfall of Adam and Eve, sin entered into the world. So that everyone that was born, they were born into sin. These are our fundamentals, guys. You need to understand this. That's why I'm teaching. That's why God showed me the teacher. That's why God showed me, do I understand it? See, and I do. But we need to keep this fresh in our minds and our hearts. So when we go out there, then we know what we're saying to people. It gives us a basis and a foundation to speak and to preach that God is love. And God loves you so much that he's done something about it. He sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ so loved God and the world that he laid down his life. No one took it from him. And that God raised him up from the dead. Now when we believe in him, we can receive the same spirit. Isn't that beautiful how it works? This is the simplicity of the word. You don't have to be a biblical scholar to understand these things. But you do have to apply yourself in the scriptures. You do have to go. And even if you don't understand, just begin. Keep going. Read your word and God will bring it to your mind. He'll open it up to you. He'll give you the understanding. Okay, so I think that's, you know, we want to complete, we want to teach the complete message of the good news. Not the complete Bible, but an overview of what was done. Of, you know, beginning to end type of thing. That we give a summation of what was done. That we need to understand that if we're going to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that basic information. It's very basic information, but it's life changing. It's life giving. It brings people to repentance, to change their life, to see that they have a need for the Savior, to see that they can live a life better than what they're living. That God has released them. That God has opened a door through the works that Jesus Christ done. And he didn't just accomplish it in his death, but he lived this on the earth and he brought the deliverance to the people. Because he was in will with the Father. He had nothing else in his life that held him back from doing any of these points. And it's available for us. Whether you got a job or not. Whether you're busy or not. What's your priority? See, this is for you to look at and examine yourself. It says in Corinthians, examine yourself that you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. See? So, the word poor, I just looked at the word there to preach the gospel. The word poor is the Greek word poukos. Its definition means poor, destitute, spiritually poor, either in a good sense, humble and devout person, good or bad. Right? So, it's someone that has great need, that's humble in heart. Maybe they're humble in heart and they're a good person, they're humble in heart but they haven't got the truth, or it's a bad person and their situation has brought them down to the point of being humble and a need for truth. Okay? He hath sent, this word he hath sent here is the Greek word apostello. Okay? And the definition is I send forth, or send a messenger commissioned, send away, dismiss, sent on a defined mission by a superior. Right? So he had sent. God had sent. So the superior being God has sent Jesus Christ on a defined mission. There was a purpose and a direction and a focus what he had to do. It wasn't that he just come and live willy-nilly. This is what he had to do. Specific focus and direction. God's got specific focus and direction for you. See? So the Strong's number here is 649. Apostello means focuses back to the source, the one sending. And I love this. Strongly connecting the sender to the one sent on his mission, right? This verb is used of closely connecting the Lord, the sender, to the believers he personally commissioned, as with John the Baptist and the 12 disciples, right? You can look at Matthew 10:5, also with his holy angels. You can look at Mark 13:27. But an example of this is that when God sends, you see, he sent us, but it connects us back to God is the one that sent us. So the emphasis comes back to God. So God is showing you, even with Jesus Christ, the emphasis is back to God, even though Jesus Christ is the head. But it brings us back. God was the one that commissioned him. God was the one that sent him. And he was reconciling us back to God. Can you see it? It's just so, this just a little word study has opened this up to my understanding and heart. So if you go to John chapter 7, 29, we see the examples of this breakdown. And like I said, I'll send you this, what I've worked. And you can work it in your own personal study. If you take the time to work it for yourself, you'll never forget it, you'll know it, and you'll stand upon it a lifetime, and God will bless you. Examples in John 7, 29. It says, but I know him. Jesus Christ knew who sent him, right? For I am from him, and he has sent me. Right, Jesus Christ knew God sent him. He knew his direction and vision. No, we look for vision and direction in our life. Well, you know that God has sent you. You've got a job to do now. And when you seek him in it, then he'll provide everything that you need so that you can be blessed, so you can carry on to do his work. See, the reason why God meets our needs, number one, because he's loved us. But number two, because he wants us to focus on him and do the work that he's called us to do. Do you see how wonderful and simple that is? It's beautiful truth. Right, now we're going to look at the word to heal. To heal is the Greek word iomai. It's I-A-O-M-A-I. And the definition is, I heal, generally of the physical, sometimes of the spiritual disease, it brings attention to the Lord himself as the great physician. See, when we heal someone, it brings emphasis back to God, okay? And it means to heal spiritually, spiritually, how do you heal someone spiritually? The devil spirits, casting out devils, physical body, restoration in the body, also in the heart and mind, but it brings again attention back to God, that God is the one that heals. We can't do nothing by ourselves. Really blew me away. I worked this last night. This is why I was up to 5 o'clock. It's brilliant. Okay. And an example is Luke 17:15. I'll read it to you. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God. See, when someone gets healed, it turns them back to God. Not to us, that we're anything great. And when we heal someone, when we deliver what we make sure that they know is not us, but it's God that healed you by us. God is working in us to reconcile you back to him. If you want to give praise and thanks, you give it to God. We take no credit whatsoever. When you heal someone, take no credit. All right, because it's God that's working in us. He's the one doing the work. When we're witnessing to someone, it's not our great knowledge or wisdom or understanding, because we're so spiritual. It's God working in you to reconcile those people. So the emphasis always comes back to God, that he gets the glory. He gets the honour. See, it's amazing. Broken hearted. The word broken hearted in this verse is the Greek word son tribo. And these are two different words. You can break these words up. You can look at the word son, S-U-N, and you can look at the word tribo, which is T-R-I-B-O, with the dash above the top. The definition of the brokenhearted is break by crushing, break in pieces, shatter, crush, bruised, to crush completely. This is what the work of the devil does, right?
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus Christ come to do, to set people free. To shatter, literally or figuratively. To break in pieces. Break to shivers or smithereens, yeah? That's in heart as well as in body. See? That's what the devil comes to do. This is what Jesus Christ come to undo. And it's only undone when we proclaim that good message. See, the good... To preach the gospel is the good news. And in this sense, it's to evangelize, to give the whole subject matter in a roundabout way that people can receive it and then want to repent to it. That's what an evangelist does. You know, you see the evangelist like, what's his name, Billy Graham, okay, or you know, these famous evangelists you see. Thousands come because he's given them the whole message, all right? And then you've got people like Reinhard Bonnke, where millions of people in Africa are coming. Or we may have just a group of people, hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands. Okay? So they're evangelizing the message. This is what's available. This is what Jesus Christ come to do. You can be set free today. Turn away from your sins. Repent. Change direction. Come and be healed now. God loves you. That's evangelizing. See? And then there's witnessing and different ways of doing things, right? So that's the broken heart, and that's what we preach to people. That you can be, look, God can mend your heart that's been broken into pieces. He can mend your shattered life, your crushed bones, or your crushed spirit, or your heart. It, you know, where you've been crushed completely, God has brought deliverance to you. Do you want it? Accept his love today. Turn around now. See the love. This is the gospel. This is the pure gospel message, man. This is what we give to people. And how can you give that to people if you're thinking about you and what you need to do and your things in your life, your selfishness? You can't be selfish. You've got to get out there and do it. If you're going to live to God, he's called you and changed your life by this. Now he wants you to go and help change others. He wants you to be a part. You're included on the team. He selected you personally.
to be on his front team. It's a personal thing. Just like Manchester United, they get the best players. Well, God's got his best players. You are them, but you just need to realise that you're that. And you can't do that if you don't really know the love of God for you. This is why we're looking at these things. And then we're seeing God's love demonstrated through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so powerful, this stuff. Okay, to preach deliverance. Preach is the Greek word kerusso. Okay, and the definition is to proclaim, herald, to preach. So don't forget we have the preach up here, which is like an evangelize, where we give the whole subject matter. And to preach is just like a town cry. Hear ye, there's great sales at Argos this week, and everyone rushes over there. Well, we preach out. Turn away, you know, come, look, God loves you. He's calling you, that type of thing. Is to proclaim, to herald, to preach, to announce a message publicly with conviction and persuasion. And I love that. A message, when we are out publicly and we're declaring this amongst people, we do it with conviction and a passion so that people get persuaded. When you speak the word, you want to do it so that people get persuaded. And the only way that you can do that is when you're committed to it. When you believe it. When it's your desire and your passion. Okay, and we got to get passionate. Passionate about God. Passionate about his love. Passionate about Jesus Christ. Passionate about moving with the Father. Deliverance in this is the Greek word apesis, which is A-P-H-E-S-I-S. I'm not very good at pronouncing these Greek words. And the definition of deliverance is deliverance, pardon, complete forgiveness. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, you got complete forgiveness. In Colossians 2:10 it says, we are complete in him, Christ, which is the head. You've got complete forgiveness of past, present, and anything you may do in the future. You've got complete forgiveness. It's been paid for. Why are you condemning yourself? See, this is the things you need to understand. This is why you've got the word of God and you can work it yourself. You've got complete forgiveness. So why did you screw up? If you screw up, see, why did you condemn yourself? If you screw up, so what? Okay, it's done. Okay, just get up and move on. Do it right. Ask God to help you to keep it right. And when you make a mistake, you're forgiven. It's already been paid for. It's not going to be paid for again. Jesus Christ is not going to come back and get crucified again for it. It's a done deal. It's done. You're completely forgiven. You're completely set free. All right? Complete forgiveness. Ascending away. In other words, you were in bondage and that you got deliverance. Okay, off you go. You're free. A letting go. A release as from bondage. Imprisonment. So, like, we've been released from our prison. God has totally set you free. And God wants you to really get this as a foundation in your heart and mind. I would encourage you all, go and work Luke 4:18. Go and work it. Look at all the words individually yourself. And I tell you what, God has just shown me this bit, but he'll show you more. He will show you more. He's going to add to what's being shared. God doesn't take away. I'm no bigger than you or better than you. I've just applied myself in the scriptures to the best that I know and understand. I may even have some things a little bit wrong here. I don't know. But I know that I've done this with my heart and I went with God and I said, Father, you show me. You help me. But God wants you to apply. He wants you to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants you to know these truths. And if you can't read or write, you've got ears and hearts and you can keep it in your heart. It says in Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin or miss the mark. I've kept it so I know what to do. You've got to keep the word in it so you know what to do. So when you're challenging a situation to do wrong, you know, no, I'm not going to let my God down because he loved me so much. He paid the price for my life. Why would I want to do that to my God, whom I love, my dad, who I love? Who saved me from spiritual death, who's healed my physical body, he's prospered and made my life better. He's given me an understanding. That's the real prosperity, to understand the heart and the love of God for us. That's the true prosperity, guys. Forget money. Money's nothing. Money's going to perish, all right? We're all going to die one day. We can't take the things with us. Don't go after money. Go after God. Go after his heart. Go after the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we really need to go after. All this is temporal. It's temporary. It's temporal. It says that in Corinthians. This is temporary. It's going to vanish away. And you ain't going to take nothing with it. But God and his Son and his Word lives and abides forever. the everlasting God. And we've got everlasting life because of what Jesus Christ done. But it come at a very high price. Because Jesus Christ wasn't selfish. And if we're going to follow example, we cannot be selfish and think it's about us and what we got to do in our lives. It's about my life. I've only got one life, then I'm going to live it my way. Well, God's given you that choice. But if you want the things of God, then there's a standard there. And that's the standard of love. See, that's real love there. What I'm saying to you now is the real love. Okay, the word captives is the Greek word, a very long word. Okay, it's A-I-C-H-M-A-L, long O, that's an O with a dash above it, T-O-S. And the definition means a captive in war, or captive, a prisoner, to be taken and conquered. Right, that's what the devil has done to the people in this world. He's taken them and he's conquered them and he's kept them in prison and he's kept them in darkness. Jesus Christ came to set those people free, but it only comes by the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, by evangelizing it, by preaching it, by living unto God. It's going to take a commitment to do this, to fulfill the will of the Father. We've got to be committed to him and what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live his life. We've got to be committed to him, guys. You've got to be sold out. You have to be committed to him, not me, not anyone in this room, but you commit to the Father, and he'll show you where you need to be. Then you be with those people that are going to encourage you and bless you, where you can also encourage them and bless them. This is the real heart. God wants you to know this basic things. These are the basic things, the things that we first learn. All right, and you need to be aware and know these things so that you can live those things. You know what to do. That is your direction. That's what you've been praying for. Father, give me focus. Give me direction. Well, God is saying, here's your focus. Here is your direction. Jesus Christ, he needed focus and direction. God gave him the focus and direction. And he followed it out to a T. And it wasn't a pretty ending on the earth. But it was after God raised him from the dead. He went through it because he knew the joy before him. He knew he was going to be there with the Father. Right? We know we're going to be there with the Father. It's the same joy. We've got the same joy, just that we don't have to suffer the pain, the physical pain and the physical and emotional embarrassment that he went through. See? Because he done it for us. And even if we do, so what? If someone kills us and want to chop our heads off or whatever, it's going to be over in seconds. All right? But we got an eternity with the Father. It's worth suffering. If we had to face that, it's not God's heart for us, but if we have to face it because there's God of this world, we just have to go for it. Right? We don't sell out to the devil, because Jesus Christ sold out to God, sold out to you so that you could have this life. And this is the thing. Right, let's have a look at the word recovering. This is a big verse of scripture. We're still looking at one verse of scripture. We haven't finished it yet. This is a big verse of scripture. You need to look at these words when you're working the word. I can show you how to basically, the basics of working the things from the concordances. Invest your money, buy yourself a concordance with the Hebrew and Greek, a strong concordance. Spend your money, instead of buying makeup or suits or all the things we want, go and buy a concordance, alright? That will help you develop the things that you want to understand in your personal study. Okay? It's great investment. It is a great investment, and they don't cost that much. Even if it was 50 quid, it's an amazing tool to have to help you. You've got Esau, which gives you all the Strong's numbers and all the Hebrew numbers, and it gives you a basic definition of the things. Use it. Apply yourself, guys. You've got to apply yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go and check what I'm saying is right. Can you see? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm telling you now, when you give great, God said he's magnified his word above all his name. That means he's put great emphasis on his word. Okay, when you put great emphasis on God's word, he's going to lift you up. He's going to show you. He's going to love that. He loves that so much, to see that commitment that you care about what he cares about. You care about what he's saying. He's going to open it up to you. He's going to entrust you with it. He's entrusted us with it. But what are we doing with it? Are we applying ourselves? And it's not to get a head knowledge, but so that we can apply it and live it in our life, so that word becomes living and real. So what I'm going to do now, we'll come back to recovering of sight to the blind. We're going to take another only a 10-minute break, so I can get through this, all right? And that I want to go to every scripture I've written down, because it's important. Okay, so we're going to take a break now. We'll come back to recovering sight to blind. So
Quarter past, we'll be back, okay?